I mentioned today that we celebrate the memorial of Pope St. Pius V. Our opening prayer speaks a little bit about the achievements of this great pope. It prays that we might more fittingly worship God and that we might have a great love for the holy mysteries. Pope Pius V is the pope that lived at the time of the Council of Trent after the Protestant Reformation, in which, most importantly, the Catechism, the Roman Catechism, was first written under his authority, and probably most notably, the Missal of Pius V. We call it the Missal of Pius V, or the Tridentine Missal, when we refer to the Mass that existed up to the time of the Second Vatican Council. But really, the codification of the Missal that Pope Pius V made in 1570, all he really did was update with some of the new saints, a Mass that we'd been celebrating really for over 1,000 years, from the time of Pope Gregory the Great in the 5th century, really. It's easy in our day, I think, to get the impression that somehow things are just always changing in the Church, especially with regards to the liturgy. We see so much experimentation with regard to the liturgy, and it seems like it's kind of up for grabs depending on what priest you get or what church you go to. What will they do with the liturgy there? We might tend to think that that's just the way it is. That's actually a great novelty in the life of the Church. The Missal that we had up to the time of the Second Vatican Council, we had for 1,500 years. And really, the only major changes that were ever made were to add new saints. In fact, when Blessed John the 23rd decided he wanted to make the incredible change of adding the name of Joseph to the list of saints prayed for during the Mass, there was a great upheaval amongst the Christian faithful on the grounds that you can't change the Mass. We've had the Mass for 1,500 years, and Joseph has not been in the Eucharistic prayer, and so not even the Pope should be able to change by adding a name to the Eucharistic prayer. Well, as we see, all that kind of went out the window at Vatican II, and we changed just about everything with regard to the Mass. I think it's important on this feast of St. Pius V that we look at kind of where we're at, where we're going, particularly in the light of the teachings of our Holy Father, Pope Benedict. Just yesterday, an important event took place in the Church for the English-speaking world, one that you probably won't read about in the papers and won't come to have anything to do with, at least not for the next couple months, and that is that yesterday, the new English translation of the Mass received official approval from the Vatican. It means that we will have really an entirely new English translation of the Mass sometime next year, probably around Advent. And many people will love the new translation because the idea is to go to be more sacred in our language, to accurately translate the Latin that we have in the typical or prime edition, and to translate it accurately, and to do away with one of the things that we did after Vatican II was take the liturgy of the Mass and deliberately try to make it more worldly. To take things that were, we thought, maybe too high-sounding, language that was too transcendent or sacred, and say, we want to bring it down to the level of ordinary speech. Well, the churches now realize that that was a bad approach. That, in fact, the speech we use at Mass isn't ordinary, because what we do at Mass isn't ordinary. Nor are we merely trying to communicate things in English. Rather, the language of prayer and addressing God in official public worship has always been very formal. And so part of the new translation is to do away with all the places where we didn't really translate the English, but kind of edited, and that we will now have an accurate translation. But that's really on the surface of what Pope Benedict is trying to accomplish with the liturgy, what we might call the reform of the reform, that some of the things that we did after Vatican II, where we kind of threw a lot of things out, we're starting to realize that, number one, Vatican II didn't really say to do any of that. Many people are surprised when they actually read the documents of Vatican II that the Second Vatican Council Fathers believed that Mass should be celebrated completely in Latin, with the priest and the people all facing east, or at least facing the same direction, and the Gregorian chant has the primacy of place as far as music goes. And that was the teaching of the Second Vatican Council. Of course, almost the opposite happened. We took jackhammers to all of our high altars, thank goodness not here. We turned around to celebrate Mass looking at each other, and we got rid of the sacred musical tradition of the church and changed all kinds of things that 40 years out from the council now, we're kind of at a spot where we can look back and say, is this what we want to have for the next 1,500 years, as we had to the time of Pius V? And so there's going to be a little bit of a tension, I think, and for that we looked for guidance for our Holy Father, Pope Benedict. He's very much a lover of the liturgy and sees his job as shepherd of the church, particularly tied up in celebrating well the sacred liturgy. And so we hope that this will be a time of really a new springtime of the liturgy for the church as we reflect not just on a new translation, but on really what does the Mass mean? And I think particularly to gain a respect for the history and tradition of the Mass, which goes back much longer than the Second Vatican Council, even longer than St. Pius V, but really back to the early church, and pretty much in the form from about the 5th century to the time we had it to the Second Vatican Council. Today we honor St. Pius V for the great work and love that he had for the liturgy in forming the missal that bears his name. We pray for especially reconciliation amongst all those separated Christians who love the older liturgy and have separated themselves from the See of Peter, that they might now return, we might have Christian unity and a great love of the liturgy. May Pope St. Pius V inspire us, pray for us, that we might truly have a reform of the reform and a sacred worship of God.